it goes without saying that church life in lockdown is very different. And I don't need to explain to you why that is so. Here in the Northern Rivers of New South Wales, we are in lockdown until the 10th of September, and we'll wait and see what happens after that. Even when the lockdown is lifted, we might not be able to go back to how things were before COVID spread all over the world. Now, on top of all the everyday challenges the lockdown has brought into our lives, and on top of the deeper stresses and strains we're dealing with, we might also be concerned about our church. If you love your church, you probably are concerned. And some of these questions have probably crossed your mind. Are the bonds of love and fellowship weakening? Are we drifting apart from each other? What are we losing by not being able to gather for worship and have our kids' ministries and our small groups? What's the cost? Is our outreach into the community suffering? How is this affecting the Christian lives of our brothers and sisters? And then, what of the future? Will some of our friends drift away and not return when we're finally able to meet in person? What rules and restrictions might we have to live with, and how will they impact our fellowship and our outreach? Will we be less effective? Will we ever be able to grow again? What is going to happen to our church? And we might widen this out. What is going to happen to the church? Maybe that's been on your mind as well. How is the pandemic going to impact Christian worship and the Christian witness in our society and in the wider world? From a human point of view, the outlook isn't great. The pandemic has made it more difficult for the church to do the things the church is called to do. There are restrictions that have been imposed from without, and there is the prospect of fear and division within. Many of my pastor friends are concerned, and so are many of you. And that's okay. That's the normal response when you love something, when you care deeply about it. Now, with this in mind, I want to share a word of encouragement from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I want to focus on just five words, and you know them well. They're found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, but I'm going to read from verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, I'm not going to explain the context here. I'm not going to address the significance of Peter's confession, nor am I going to get into the centuries-old debate over who or what is the rock that Jesus refers to. There are whole sermons to be preached on this text, and this is a short devotional talk. As I said, I want to concentrate on just five words recorded in verse 18. Jesus said, "I will build my church." Now, there is much for our hearts that we could draw from this statement, but for now, just two thoughts. Number one, Jesus builds his church. He said, "I will build my church. I am going to do this." And we know that Jesus has chosen to use people to build his church, namely his disciples. But the fact remains that he is doing it. He is at work in the world by his Spirit. And we are involved. We are called. We are equipped. We are responsible and accountable. But the work is his. It's not up to us. It's not dependent upon our strength, our intelligence, our resources, our willpower, or our natural capacity to persevere. Now, this is not an excuse to be slack or to loosen our commitment to the body of Christ, but it does mean that the pressure is off. The outcome of our Christian endeavor, our effectiveness, the growth and the advancement of our church and the church is in his hands, not ours. If we are faithful, if we do what we can, given the circumstances, we can be well satisfied and we shouldn't worry. Jesus builds his church, not us. That's message number one. Message number two is this. Jesus will build his church. Now, Jesus didn't say, I'm going to try to build my church. He didn't say, I'm going to give it my best shot. He didn't say, I'm hoping to build my church, but it will really depend on the quality of my disciples and on what happens in the world over the next 20 centuries. If there's a global pandemic, then I don't know, I might be in trouble. He didn't say that at all. He said, I will build my church. I'm sure some of you wives watching this video have heard your husband say, I will fix that broken cupboard door. I will trim that overgrown shrub in the backyard. I will change the light bulb in the garage. You've heard statements like this many times. And let's put it this way. When you heard those words, you weren't filled with confidence. Hey, you didn't doubt your husband's intention, but you weren't entirely convinced that he would actually do it. Maybe there are things he still hasn't done. Well, now's the time, right? What else is there to do in lockdown? It's the same for parents when they tell their children to clean their room or do some housework. The answer comes back, oh yeah, we'll do it. But there is some level of doubt, isn't there, that they actually will. The same goes for politicians. When they say they will do something, we are somewhat skeptical. Our expectations that they will actually follow through are pretty low. But when Jesus says he will do something, that's different, isn't it? We can have complete confidence in a person who predicted and then performed his own resurrection. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Creator. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the one to whom all authority has been given in heaven and in earth. We have all the reasons we need to believe that he is both willing and able to do what he said he will do. So when you think about our little church, and when you think about the church, it's a good thing if you're concerned because it means you care. But none of us need to worry. None of us should be troubled about this. We don't need to be anxious about what's happening to our church right now, and we shouldn't be anxious about what the future looks like. Maybe from a human perspective, our church and churches everywhere will be smaller and weaker and seemingly less effective. Who knows? But whatever happens, it's going to be okay because Jesus will build his church. That is certain. Nothing is going to stop him from doing that. Jesus will finish the good work that he has begun in each one of us who know him as Savior, and his kingdom will advance in this world until that time when he calls us to be with himself. May his grace and his peace be with you today and always. Amen.